Sleep peacefully at night and pray. Play freely outside. The Rachel Curry is carrying wheelchairs, toys, medical supplies, books and papers because of the callous disregards of the world's government. Means to the people of Gaza have no choice but to ask us to bring what we can. We, the people of the world, will do what our governments refuse to do. That's from Hillary Smith, our secretary. We've got Joanne from the Students' Union going to say what's happening at Sheffield Uni.
Okay. Right. In this massacre, there are four clear points that everyone needs to understand. And once you understand that, a lot of things come a lot clearer. The first point is that Israel is a racist state. It's based on Zionism, which means rights only for Jews. The indigenous population of Palestine have no rights in the Zionist state. That's the first point you need to understand. The second understand is that the aid delivered to Gaza is completely necessary. Israel is starving Gazans. They have no dignity. They are starving. The siege on Gaza by Israel is immoral, and the aid was absolutely necessary. The third point is that most of what you've seen on the television and in the newspaper is misinformation. When you hear Mark Regev speak, he is an Israeli spokesman. He was not on the boat. When the boats were seized, all the information from the activists was taken. All the information coming through the media has been Israeli spin and Israeli lies. The lies that the Turkish boats were terrorists, the lie that the boats were armed, all of that has come from not even witnesses, people that weren't even on the boats. The witnesses have been denied their right to speak and denied their right to speak the truth. The fourth point is that Judaism is not Zionism. In criticising Israel, we are not being anti-Semitic. The laws of Judaism are for justice and righteousness. Not stealing, not lying, not coveting and not killing. That's all you need to understand. Thank you for listening.
We've got Gillian Creasy next from the Green Party. And councillor.
Hiya, it's great to see so many people here. There were a lot of people here on Wednesday, and I think there's going to be as many. Sorry. Hi there. Sorry about that. Fantastic to see so many people here on a busy Saturday morning. There were lots of people here on Wednesday evening. Looks like there's going to be even more today. It's really, really important that we pay tribute to the brave people who are trying to relieve the siege of Gaza. It's really important that we remember that although people died on those ships, those brave people have died, that people are dying and suffering in Palestine year on year, year on year. And if nothing else comes from this, if nothing else good comes from this, it's to draw attention to that terrible situation. So thank you all for coming, and keep up the pressure.
The next speaker we've got, we're pleased to have here. On Wednesday we read out his message. We've got him here in person, the MP in Sheffield, Paul Blomfield.
Thanks very much. I was sorry that I couldn't be here on Wednesday for what was clearly a very strong and spontaneous response from people in Sheffield to the appalling attack on the peace and humanitarian flotilla. I think I was pleased to be able to send a message, even better to be here to be with people today, because we need to build now an international movement from the grassroots up which can strengthen the hand of those of us who are there in elected politics to ensure that we bring maximum international pressure, not simply to enable flotillas, but to end the need for flotillas, to end the blockade of Gaza. We should salute the courage of those who are on the flotilla and also those who are on the Rachel Curry, who in the face of what happened earlier this week were still prepared to go on that merchant vessel and face down the Israeli forces. That We should also recall that that ship was named after a courageous American student, Rachel Curry, who lost her life under the attack from an Israeli bulldozer in 2003 when she was opposing the demolition of Palestinian homes in Gaza. That courage of those on the flotilla should give us inspiration to bring about the end of the blockade, but in the longer term to recommit the international community to achieving a long-term solution based on two independent states of Palestine and Israel within internationally secured and legal, internationally recognized borders based on those that existed before 1967. I hope that everybody here will commit themselves to that. Certainly, as a Member of Parliament for Sheffield Central, I commit myself to that.
Thank you, Paul. We've got Lucinda Wakefield, who's the Secretary of the Sheffield Stop the War Coalition.
Thank you. Israel slaughtered people in the aid convoy on Monday night going to Gaza was its latest act of terror against the Palestinian people and their supporters. It continues to blatantly commit crimes against humanity, and we send our full solidarity to all those on the Rachel Curry trying to get to Gaza. Israel is a rogue state, lashing out against all who oppose its oppression of the Palestinians. They are determined to do anything to stop activists breaking its siege of Gaza. And let's be real, it was the elite of the Israeli Defence Force who carried out this raid. They are also known as the S-13 Force, who specialise in assassinations, counter-terrorism, sabotage and intelligence gathering. They have carried out attacks deep into the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, taken part in massacres in Lebanon, and are responsible for the assassinations of many resistance figures. These are the thugs that the Israeli propaganda is claiming acted in self-defense. But they came heavily armed down with smoke bombs, gas canisters, and live ammunition, firing at innocent passengers and the crew, and killing the 9 on board. No one can call this a fight between two equal forces. And yet the media continues with its complete and utter disgraceful bias on those attacks. The boats were filled with humanitarian aid for Gaza, which continues to be under siege by the Israeli state. Palestinians are living in a prison. We saw in January 2009 Israel launch a massive assault on Gaza, devastating the infrastructure and killing 1,300 innocent people. This country is complicit in destroying the lives of Palestinians and continually flouts international law. We would be at war with Iran now if they had done this. There would have been immediate sanctions against them. Yet world leaders are implicit in this crime through their silence. They continue to uphold Israel as their ally in the imperialist push to control the Middle East, giving financial aid to Israel's military system and turning a blind eye to their violent atrocities. What has been fantastic is that people across the globe have poured out onto the streets since Monday in protest at Israel's terror, and there is a demonstration in London as we speak. There were demonstrations in Istanbul, Cairo, Pakistan, New York, Greece, Germany, Spain, France, Argentina, Jordan, Iran, and all across Britain, all sending a clear message to our governments. We demand an immediate suspension of the EU trade agreement, immediate sanctions against Israel for their barbaric and illegal acts. We demand that the USA acts accordingly, specifically revoking the $150 million of military aid planned for Israel's new missile system. Israel is a nuclear state armed to the teeth by the USA. We stand in solidarity with the people of Palestine, and we mourn those brutally murdered on Monday. We must stand up to ensure that Israel becomes a pariah state and the Palestinians are freed from its dominance. We must force Britain to break all links with Israel, including shutting down its embassy. For years, the Palestinians and the Jews lived together. This is their land, and it should be given back to them, and we will not stop until Palestine is free. Free, free Palestine!
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 Palestine will be free!
Palestine will be free!
A couple of minutes silence to recognise the dead. I just want to highlight one of them. Furkan Doğan is a Turkish-American student, and he was shot in the head 4 times at close range. A book's been introduced for people to sign condolences, and their son, to the parents, their son had been taking a university entrance exam only a few weeks ago and was dreaming of becoming a doctor one day. That's one of the 9 dead that we know about. We're going to read out the names of the other 8, and then we'll have a period of silence just to mourn our dead. Just heard that the Rachel Curry, the boat that was named after the human rights worker that was killed a few years ago, has been boarded. It appears at this stage that there's been no loss of life, but the Rachel Curry, the boat, was paid for by the ex-Prime Minister, a fund set up by the ex-Prime Minister of Malaysia, Malaysia's shown great support for the Rachel Curry and for the breaking the siege, and we're very fortunate to have a Malaysian student with us to do, Amar Ehsan. On Wednesday, there were 50 Malaysian students here, and there's quite a few of them here today. So if he can come up to the front and say a few words, please.
First and foremost, let me say that it is a great honor for the organizers for granting me this opportunity to speak to all of you who care so much about our Palestinian brothers. And first of all, my name is Amar Ehsan, and I represent Sheffield Nation Students Association, a society from the University of Sheffield comprising of Nation students. Now, Malaysia is a small country in Southeast Asia, which is also a Muslim country, and I myself am a Muslim. Now, one thing that I would like all of you to know about Muslims is that to us, Islam teaches us that each one of us are related to one another, and therefore to us, the Palestinians are not only people who we care about, but are also people who we see as our own children, as our own brothers, as our own sisters, as our own fathers and mothers, as our own family. And therefore, it is without question that each and every time the atrocities made by the Israeli Zionist movement, they have done so many things to us. No wonder who would not be enraged when something has happened, when some injustice is happening to your own family. Therefore, we as Malaysians, as Muslims as a whole, we do fight for the plight of the Palestinians because we believe that injustice is done here. Now, the first question is, why do we retaliate? Why do we fight? Let me give you a simple analogy, a simple example. If you sit on your home, in your home, and suddenly someone comes up to you and say, get out of this home, I want your house, I want your home, and he takes it away from you, would you sit down? Would you not do anything about it? I don't think so. And this is the same situation as the flotilla. This is the same situation as in the racial quarry. This is the same situation. We want action to be taken. We want to show to them that what they have done is an atrocity, is a crime against humanitarian, is a crime against humanity as a whole. This is not about religion. This is not a fight about race. This is a fight to prove to the world that justice can prevail, that justice will prevail. With that, thank you.
Thank you very much. Part of the general boycott movement and the movement to break the siege, a very important part, is the trade union movement. My own union on Tuesday met and passed a resolution. And for a national trade union in Britain, I think it's quite a strong one. Congress is appalled at the Israeli act of piracy in international waters on the 31st of May. It condemns the armed attack on the convoy and the murders of people seeking to bring aid to the people of Gaza, suffering from Israeli and Egyptian blockade. Congress believes that this constitutes a prima facie crime against humanity. Congress believes that the senior Israeli government members and the senior military and naval officers responsible for commissioning this action should be tried for this crime. Congress demands that the UK government does not change the rules of universal jurisdiction to impede bringing the people responsible for these murders to justice. That's from the UCU Congress on Tuesday. We've got Bill Ronksley here from the local Trades Union Council to say a few words. Bill.
Colleagues, with me today, greetings from the Sheffield Trade Union Council.
Lack of practice, Bill.
The entire trade union movement was shocked and dismayed regarding the Israeli attack on the aid convoy. Commiserations with those who were killed and injured were sent from the TUC. The British Trade Union Congress has consistently supported a peaceful solution. To the solution of this particular crisis. You know, in my younger days, I had one of my best friends was Jewish, and he was an international brigader, had fought fascism in Spain, and he used to say to me many years ago, you know, the Zionists will pick war after war after war until they lose one. And it seems to me that that is going to be the inevitable end of what is going on in the Middle East at the present time. The British TUC says the blockade of Gaza must be lifted unconditionally. We have an early day motion adopted by over 90 MPs, and it was signed by Sheffield MPs Clive Betts and Paul here, who's here as well this morning. And I'd like to congratulate you, Paul, and your colleague Clive Betts for signing this early day motion. Early day motion says it's appalled at the loss of life associated with the Israeli attack. It endorsed the call of the United Nations General Secretary for a prompt, credible, transparent investigation into what went on in regard to the mass murder by the Israeli army. The Holy Events motion condemned the collective punishment which is now being imposed upon the people of Gaza. In 2009, the TUC adopted a very important resolution on the question of the Middle East. It is committed to the two-state solution. The TUC condemned the Israeli attack on Gaza, which resulted in 1,450 Palestinian deaths, 5,000 injuries, and an enormous destruction of property. The TUC in 2009 called on the British government to end the arms sale of British arms to the State of Israel. And you may not be aware of this, but in last year, £18.8 million worth of arms, British arms, was purchased by the Israelis. I think this is a disgrace, and I hope that this is brought to an end. The TUC said the European Union should seek to impose a ban on importing goods produced in illegal Israeli settlements. This again, comrades, is something that we have to pay great attention to in Sheffield and in other areas. The TUC also said that the Israel agreement with Britain should be suspended. And underneath that agreement, it provides preferential trade facilities for the State of Israel. That's the TUC, in accordance with the view of the TUC, that should be brought to an end immediately. The TUC called on the British government to support a boycott of agricultural goods that originate in illegal Israeli settlements. The TUC also called for the campaign for disinvestment by Britain in Israeli companies. The TUC called on trade union organisations to affiliate to the Palestine Solidarity Campaign. Comrades, this is very important because many of your people here today are trade unionists. And if we are going to be successful in this campaign, we must win behind us the entire labour and trade union movement of this city. The trade union branches can play a great part in this. In my view, we could have stopped the Iraqi war, you know, if we'd have had sufficient backing from the trade unions, active trade union movement of this country and trade union leaders. But whilst we've got millions of people on the streets, the trade union leadership was largely absent from that particular struggle. I want to appeal to trade union members who are here today to explain to your fellow trade unionists the situation in the Middle East, particularly in Gaza. In the interest of the people of the Middle East, including the people of Palestine, and in the interest of the peace of the world, we must win this battle. This battle is not going to end. These convoys are going to go on and on, and I think there's every possibility of them increasing. Colleagues, I think it's extremely important to note the change of view in Turkey. I went to Turkey in 1974 and with a trade union delegation, and the British ambassador personally came to us and appealed to us not to create any problems, because he pointed out 500,000 Turks were in the NATO alliance, and it was the biggest army of NATO, and he was rather disturbed we should upset the situation, because they said Turkey has rockets aimed all over the Soviet Union. That was the situation that existed at that particular time. But comrades, we've now got a Turkey which is very different. A Turkey which is now supporting the people of Gaza, and that is continuing with mass demonstrations in this particular way. Already, I was listening last night to foreign radio stations, and an enormous demonstration yesterday took place in Egypt, in Alexandria. And Mubarak has only opened the border, you know, because not because he loves the Gazans, it's because he's afraid of his own particular position. Important, comrades, the situation is very different. We're at the beginning of a movement. Colleagues, there is no future for us or anybody else in this world unless we settle this particular problem peacefully. The peace of the world depends on it. Because Israel, you know, for too long has been the fulcrum pin of Middle East policy of the United States of America. Yeah. And that must be ended. Let's work for the situation of freedom for the people of Gaza, freedom for the people of Palestine, and tell the Israelis, quite frankly, that since 1967, they've been ignoring the agreement to the United Nations Resolution 242, where they should return to their old frontiers. It's time we told Israel that is the end of the game of ignoring the resolutions of the United Nations. If they want to remain a state in the Middle East, they have to be told that they have to honour international opinion and international decisions as determined by the United Nations. Thank you, colleagues, for listening, and keep up the battle.
On the trade union, it's just been announced that the Swedish Federation of Dockers is banning Israeli boats for the next fortnight. The South African trade union movement has passed a similar resolution. There's a whole list of things that are happening to boycott and disinvestment, and the trade unions are a key part of it. And at the next... while people are here, do make sure you come to the stall, leave your name. This is a long struggle that we're involved in. We're taking on a big foe. Make sure you get the leaflet about the meeting on Tuesday week. I'll ask June Cattell to say some words about the boycott disinvestment movement.
I'm speaking as a member of Sheffield PSC's Boycott Action Group. 5 years ago, the Palestinian Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions Committee asked all organisations to support a movement of boycott, disinvestment and sanctions against Israel. On Monday in Nablus, the second international conference of the Palestinian Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions campaign took place. In response to Israel's attacks, they say the following. The Israeli violent attack on the Gaza Freedom Flotilla this morning is an act of international conspiracy, which the world must condemn and take suitable measures against. More specifically, international civil society and governments of the world that respect and uphold international freedom must immediately initiate sanctions against Israel to compel it to obey international law. In light of the atrocities this week, it's more important than ever that we here in Sheffield and in this country support the boycott Israeli goods campaign, also the boycott against cultural events and sporting events in Israel, and the programme of disinvestment and sanctions, both to raise the awareness of people about the situation in Gaza and Palestine, and put pressure on Israel economically where it hurts. The campaign for boycott and divestment and sanctions offers hope for turning around the situation in Palestine and Gaza. We know it worked in South Africa and it can work here. Internationally, the movement is beginning to be effective. Following the attack on the flotilla, the groups Guerrillas and Klaxons have both come full tours in Israel now. A few weeks ago, Gil Scott-Heron and Elvis Costello both pulled out of shows in Israel, naming political reasons for it. Dick has already mentioned the action of the Swedish port workers. In South Africa, Transport and Allied Workers Union have called on its members not to allow Israeli ships to dock or unload. Turkey's under 19 football team have cancelled the fixture with Israel this week. Norway's Trade Union Federation is calling on the state pension fund, which covers one-fifth of Norway's population and is the third largest pension fund in the world, to divest from Israeli companies, something we can be taking forward here. Two of Italy's largest supermarket chains have suspended sales of settlement goods. Dublin City Council have refused to renew its contract with Veolia. Are you listening, General City Council? 42% of Norwegians now say this week that they will boycott Israeli goods. Let's make it more than 42% here. Sheffield PSC holds boycott actions each month. Please think about joining them. Get involved with the campaign. Raise the issue of boycott in your schools, in your colleges, in your universities, in your communities, in your faith groups, and importantly in your trade unions, to build the campaign and put pressure on Israel where international diplomacy and United Nations resolutions have failed. Our next regular boycott action will be next Saturday, so please join us there. We're meeting outside the tram stop in Infirmary Road. And following drawing the supermarket's attention and those of the shoppers to the unethical practices in stocking Israeli goods, we'll then be joining Peace in the Park for their celebration. Thank you very much for listening.
When I went on a boycott,
at the tram stop. There's a specific role of the media in terms of the false reporting of what's going on in Gaza, and we've got a journalist here, a mother of the chapel, going to say about the media and about the gagging of the journalists that were on the flotilla.
Thank my name's Junior Armstrong. I'm also chair of South Yorkshire National Union Journalist Branch. Can you hear me? No, you can't. Can you hear me now? Sorry, hello. I'm Junior Armstrong. I'm also chair of the South Yorkshire Branch of National Union of Journalists. Now, obviously, journalists have been, you know, there were journalists on the convoy, and all the footage that we've seen so far has been from the point of view of the Israeli troops who boarded. Now, I want to know what's happened to all that footage that was taken by journalists and by volunteers. It seems. You know, we need to talk about press freedom. Gaza's been a place that journalists haven't been able to get into to report properly. We've had it all from the point of view of from outside, from the point of view of the Israelis. They get the coverage. I don't think that's press freedom for anybody around the world. You know, the media now is much more global, and I think that they have to account. People have to account to us as to why these things are happening, and we need to ask these questions. Now, just saying, my scarf here was—I was very proud. It was given to me by the president of the journalist union in Palestine, and they came to speak. He came to speak at our union conference 2 or 3 years ago, and he had trouble getting in. He had trouble getting home again. Now, I think this shows you that, you know, we, as journalists, we try to stay. We're supposed to be objective, etc. How can you be objective in a situation where we know what's happening, you know, just by the little bit that gets out? We know the terrible things that are happening every day to people in Gaza, and we know that people need that aid. There was a guy speaking on the radio this morning from the UN charity saying that they want to stop the blockade so they can get the aid in. I think we have to have the message loud and clear, and we have to keep the media on it, because the people in the Rachel Corrie, they need our protection as well, because the world has to be watching to make sure that nothing else terrible happens to those people on that boat today, who's named after someone who died. Thank you.
Right, what I suggest we do is have another brief silence for the people who died earlier, and then we'll have some chanting, and then we'll call it a day in a few minutes' time. So can we have a minute's silence, please? Just to let the people know that we're here and we're very, very angry. Free, free!
Palestine!
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 Thank you very much, everyone. Right, we're just about to break up. Before we do, just take away with you, the campaign is starting here. We need to build on it. Come to Tuesday week's meeting, sign up the sheet to join the solidarity campaign. There are loads that each of us can do with a huge task. There's political activities. Get on to MPs like David Blunkett, who's a friend of Israel. Get on to the people like Meg Munn, who's a friend of Israel. Get on to councillors, so on. Huge amount of campaigning politically. We need to educate people. We need to go out, have meetings like this, produce leaflets. We have a huge amount to do.
We have a huge amount of activities in terms of the boycott movement. Are your shops selling Israeli and settlement goods? Go round, put pressure on the people who still think that it's business as usual with Israel. It is not acceptable that it is business as usual with Israel. So we need to build that. And the other thing that we need to do any sort of campaigning takes money. Everyone here, you can have a social. You can have a bit when you have your birthday party. Just a no presents. Money goes to Palestine. Goes to the campaign, goes to the women's education movement, goes to pay for the children's projects in Gaza. There is loads to do, but we need organisation. So before you go, make sure you sign up for our contact lists, and we make sure that this horrible atrocities. Israel is hoping that the atrocity when they attacked Lebanon in 2006, there was a campaign, it was disgusting, and then it faded away. There was a horrible atrocity in January last year, and there was a complaint, massive protest, and it fades away. This process will continue until we build a movement that can isolate and break the Zionist state. So please sign up, join us, and hopefully see you Tuesday week. Thank you very much for attending.